The recordings have started. You may now proceed.
Thank you, Christine. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all. Welcome to the first meeting of the reconvened PDP Working Group call on Red Cross Maine on the 14th of June, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. You'll hear only on the audio bridge. Would you please let yourself be known now?
This is Jim Bykoff.
Thank you, Jim. We'll note that. Okay. There are no further names. I would also like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn the call back over to James Blatel.
Thank you, Michelle, and thank you, everyone, for joining. Welcome to, we believe, to be the first instance of a reconvened PDP under the GNSO's process, which I believe is under Section 16, to review and revisit some of its PDP recommendations and at the request of the GNSO Council. Thomas Ricker, who was the chair of this PDP the first time around, was and has volunteered to take the reins once again, but unfortunately we're having some difficulty connecting to him, so I'll fill in as best I can and see if we can get through part of our agenda. The first thing I want to confirm is that because this has been quite a bit of time has elapsed since the PDP concluded in late 2013, versus this this process to reconvene the working group, I would ask everyone to please go back and take a look at your statement of interest. Normally, that's just a formality. I think in this particular case, there's a high degree of likelihood that statement of interest has changed in the intervening 2, 3, 4 years, and would ask everyone to please make sure that is current for the purposes of transparency into your interest. It looks like we do have Thomas now, so thank you, Thomas, for joining. I was just kind of kicking off some of the administrative stuff, and I'll just continue on and then probably turn it over to you here in a moment. Just want to provide a little bit of background as well for this group. The purpose of this process is to take a look at recommendations that were developed and agreed upon via consensus by the PDP working group and submitted to the GNSO Council, and in fact, in this case, were approved by the GNSO Council. But in the intervening elapsed time, ran somewhat counter to items that were contained in the Act Advice. I think ideally the way this process was envisioned is that the GNSO Council would immediately reconvene and ask them to take a closer look at a couple of its recommendations. This is all made much more complicated by the fact that so much time has elapsed, and that perhaps some of the folks who participated in the original PDP have left the industry or moved on to different jobs or retired or just for whatever reason have no interest in participating in the second round. I know that has prompted some discussions about membership, and I would say, let's try to apply a common sense approach to that. I think we don't want to necessarily throw the doors open to all brand new members, including folks who maybe didn't participate on the previous PDP. That wouldn't be the case if the interval between the PDP and Section 16 were a matter of weeks or months, so we probably shouldn't expect that now. I think that on the other side of the coin, if we have an organization that has a different group of folks or a different delegation to ICANN and to PDPs, those folks should be allowed to select alternates to participate on their behalf. So, I don't really have any hard and fast guidance here except to say let's try to, exercise some common sense as far as membership. And I think the same goes for the subject matter and the scope of the review. This isn't starting with, I think, what Thomas has characterized as one of the largest and longest final reports ever issued by a PDP and just start over with a blank page and see where we end up. It's meant to take a closer look at a narrow subset of the recommendations and to examine those recommendations in light of some new information or some questions that weren't considered perhaps the first time around. And it should be as narrow a scope as possible to facilitate the most lightweight and expeditious route towards the final report. The outcome of this work could be that this group says, you know what, we looked at these recommendations and we got it right. We got it right the first time around. Thanks for bringing this new information to our attention, but we got it right. Or this group could say, you know what, we looked at this and we missed a spot. We're going to go back. We're going to tweak a couple of recommendations and ask that the council instead approve these edits or these amended recommendations. There's neither of those outcomes is guaranteed or is a foregone conclusion. I think what this simply provides is an opportunity to revisit some of the decisions that were taken earlier in light of some new facts or new information. So with that said, I'm trying to think if there's any other sort of context-setting materials that have been left off. Otherwise, I can certainly just start to hand it over to Thomas, who can talk a little bit more about why we're here and what our goal and what our path forward looks like, and then what the ultimate deliverable work product of this working group will be. So, Thomas, if you're on the line, you can hear. I'll stand down now and turn this all over to you.
Thanks very much, James. And hello, everyone. This is Thomas Rickert speaking. And I do apologize for being a couple of minutes late. I had a few technical issues getting online, but now I'm with you, and it's good that we got the band back together. I think some of you would have hoped that we do not have to work on this issue anymore, but in fact, this is a new situation, and we can now invoke and ultimately test how Section 16 that you see quoted in the Adobe room actually works and can be operationalized. So I think this is, to a certain extent, uncharted territory for all of us, but I'm sure that we will work in the same collaborative spirit as we did a couple of years back when we originally worked on the recommendations. So since I missed a few minutes into the call, I do not know exactly what's been discussed, but as you will surely recall, we had originally done our consensus recommendations as a PDP working group. These were then passed on to the GNSO Council. They were unanimously adopted by the GNSO Council and then sent on to the board. And then there were conflicting GAC advice and GNSO policy recommendations, which left the topic unresolved for quite some time. And then in Helsinki, with help from Bruce Tomkin, who did an excellent job as a facilitator, this topic was discussed and ultimately brought back to the GNSO Council, which then invoked this Section 16 of the, I think, operating principles for the GNSO, which brought us back together. And actually, we're looking at a very focused question. So this is not for, it is not for our group to add things to the list of topics that we're going to discuss. So we have quite a limited scope. So, and I guess this is important to bear in mind when you talk to your respective groups, that this is not an opportunity to otherwise change or get additional requests into our work plan. You know, even if we wanted to, the rules would prohibit us from doing more than what's absolutely necessary and required to revisit a few of the policy recommendations. So I think that James has given you an overview of the policy amendment process, and if there's anything missing to that point, please do speak up, so that I think we can now move on to the third agenda item, which is the review and discussion of the scope of the GNSO Council request. And I would like to hear from you, James, whether that's something that the council leadership would like to go through, or whether this is something that's potentially been done by staff, i.e. probably Mary Wong. James, your hand is raised. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Thomas. And yes, correct. I would probably then ask Mary to load the text of the motion itself, where it looks like they've done so. And then, Mary, if you wouldn't mind, I think we want to outline briefs of, we've said repeatedly this is a narrow scoped work effort, and I think what we're asking you to do then is, can you define the boundaries of what it is specifically, A, what we're going to be looking at, and B, what new information or new data or fact sets will be considered as the working group reexamines those recommendations? Go ahead, Mary.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Thomas. And hi, everybody. This is Mary from staff. As James noted, what you see on the Adobe screen is the GNSO Council resolution that kicked us off in this reconvening period. And that was the resolution that was voted on and passed by the Council in early May, just about a month ago. So in going through the scope, as mentioned, the narrow scope of this consultation, I think two things should be noted in context. One is that this resolution, and hence the scope of the request to this working group, tracks very closely the board's request to the GNSO Council that followed that facilitated discussion that Thomas described, which took place in Copenhagen, that I think several folks on the call either attended or were involved in some way. Secondly, the scope was also determined in part by some of what we're calling new facts, or certainly agreement that came out from that discussion about certain matters that you actually see in one of the whereas clauses here, and that's in this document on screen, the bottom of page 1 going into the top of page 2. And so you see essentially 4 numbered subpoints that describe those matters that were noted that first the board and now the council considers relevant to this reconsideration of the PDP recommendation. Then coming to the actual consideration and the scope, if you look at the resolve clause, that's laid out in resolve clause 1. In the sub-bullet points A, B, and C. And you'll note that this really concerns recommendation 5 in the working group's final report as it relates to the Red Cross. That is section 3.1 of the report. In other words, section 3.1 in the report is that section that talks about the various recommendations from the PDP on the Red Cross movement. And this one, as I mentioned, specifically is limited to recommendation 5 in that section. And I won't read the 3 sub-bullet points numbered A, B, and C, except to note that we are looking at the names of the Red Cross National Societies, which number 190, as well as the name of the International Committee of the Red Cross, and the name, the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, together with a agreed limited set of variants of those names, which we can get into as to what those look like and what those are as we go further along. But essentially, that is the scope of the consultation that the Council has kicked off with this working group. And so the beginning for this working group, we would think, would be to look at this proposed amendment as encapsulated in this Resolve Clause 1. James Thomas, I hope that's helpful, and I'll turn it back to you.
Thanks very much, Mary. I guess that was an excellent introduction to our to the scope of our work. Let me open it up to the group to ask questions. I don't see any hands raised, except for a comment that was made by Avery in the chat, where she says, "So, were we to just accept what they want, we would be done." Anyone? So let me throw it out there. Does anyone wish to comment or speak to Mary's point or comment on Avery's comment in the chat? James, I see your hand raised.
Hi, thanks, Thomas, and thanks, Avery, for the question. I think if the question is, so if we simply modify Recommendation 5 to track the request as it exists in the GATT communique, would that be it? Would that be done? And I think, the answer is yes, but we don't want to presume that the that's necessarily the right answer. I think that one of the things that we discussed in Copenhagen was that the rationale behind revisiting this was that the national societies did have a status, perhaps that wasn't clear during the first go around of the PDP, and that the list was not infinite in the number of national society names. In fact, it was relatively small in DNS terms, with just a couple of hundred of strings, and also that the strings were so distinctive that perhaps they could not have been reasonably confused or legitimately reused for other purposes. So I think that it would be important to, if the result of this group or the work would be to go back and revisit Recommendation 5 and make changes, it would be important to capture those rationales because some of the future requests to do the same thing and reserve, big chunks of alphabets might not be able to cross those thresholds. And so, therefore, I think it's important to establish why Recommendation 5 would be revisited as opposed to just making it match. But yes,
thanks,
hypothetically,
sir.
That is one possible outcome.
Thanks very much, James. I guess that's very helpful. And I'd just like to add that even if we said yes to the request today, the work wouldn't be done. We need to write up a report. And this report will be put out for public comment. So there's a process that we have to follow, and we will surely discuss this process in more detail. But I think what's important in all this is that we, as we always did, try to stick to the process, make sure that the integrity of the process is not damaged. Therefore, I think we should be very diligently working on this as we did in the original PDP. And just for you to remember, and I'm sure that most of you know this, but it was not negligence or stubbornness that the protections that we're discussing now were not granted at the time, but actually the list of strings was only introduced via GAC advice after we had done our consensus recommendations at the time. And, you know, with the topic such as this that was quite heatedly debated, we have to be very careful that we're doing our homework correctly and diligently, because otherwise we might be setting dangerous precedent for other requests. So this is neither to say that I would favor or that I would oppose to the protections that are requested. In fact, I think I said this on multiple occasions, as chair, I'm interested in the integrity of the process. I'm passionate about the process. I'm not passionate about the outcome. We need to produce the right outcome based on the information and the assessment that this group can come up with. So are there any further wishes to speak? That doesn't seem to be the case, which would allow us to move to the next agenda item, and that is agenda item 4, which is a recap of why and what brought us here, overview of the Copenhagen facilitated discussions, highlighting the post-PDP development, such as GAC advice and the limited nature of the list of Red Cross names. And I do not exactly know whether what we plan to say here has already been mentioned in other agenda items. So I'm virtually looking at James and or Mary to double check whether there's anything on top of what we already briefly summarized that we want to discuss. James, please go ahead.
Thanks, Thomas. I just wanted to note that I think we, in a roundabout way, have already covered all of the points that were enumerated under agenda item number 4. So I think we've got it. I guess I would turn it around to the group. Is there anything in background materials or open questions or gaps in context that you would have at this time that maybe we can answer or we can go out and research and get back to you?
Can you please repeat the last sentence for me? I had some background noise here, so I couldn't hear. Apologize.
I'm sorry, Thomas. I was just noting that I think we've covered everything under agenda item number 4. So I would ask the group if they're missing anything or lacking anything, or if they have questions or spot any ambiguities about the information that we've provided thus far. Now would be a great time to answer some questions.
Thanks very much, James. And I see Stefan's hand is raised. Welcome, Stefan. And the floor is yours. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, good evening. My microphone is a little bit bizarre, so I hope it's not ununderstandable what I would like to say. But that we're very happy to see that this process is beginning, and to thank the GNSO and all of those present on the call for taking up their participation in this reconvened group. I had just one question, which is to note that indeed the scope of what this reconvened group is looking at is limited, as it is defined in the resolution of the GNSO Council. And I was just wondering to clarify that those parts of the recommendations that were adopted in November 2013 and that are for re-examination, they may remain as they are, or they may be revised as may be decided. But I just wanted to note that the scope 2 identifiers, as they were defined in 2013, extend beyond the names of the 199 national societies of the Red Cross, Red Crescent, and the full names of the International Federation and the ICRC. And if you see in the list, there is a mention of the acronyms. So I just wanted, as a point of clarification, what will be the outcome for the acronyms of the revision of the fifth wing of the recommendations under 3.1 of the report. Because as it now stands, the acronyms would be added as a to the single list of the Trademark Clearinghouse, if my understanding is correct. So I just wanted to know if that question in some way needs to be addressed or not, bearing in mind that the conclusions and the recommendations of 2013, and bearing in mind also the GAC advice in this field that was subsequent, and which recommends that the acronyms of the two international bodies in the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement be subject to the same cost-neutral protection mechanisms to be developed in the future in regard to IGO acronyms. So it was just this point of clarification I wanted to put forward. I'm not sure I made myself clear. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Stefan. And I'd like to ask Mary whether she has a spontaneous answer to this clarification.
Thanks, Thomas, and thanks, Stefan, for the question. This is Mary from staff. From what you're saying, Stefan, my understanding is that you're asking about the acronyms, and as you noted, the original PDP working group did have a recommendation on those acronyms, and that was for entry into the 90-day claim system through the clearinghouse. Our understanding in looking at the board request to the GNSO following the Copenhagen dialogue, and secondly at the GNSO Council request, is that what this PDP working group has been asked to do at the moment is to look at the names portion of that recommendation. And that, I think, is based on the fact that the discussion in Copenhagen really largely focused on the names, primarily the National Society names and, to some extent, the international movement names. So for what it's worth, the board resolution and the council resolution speaks of the names. So in relation to the acronyms, I would imagine that it is something that the board may request or not, and it may be something that the board will act on in relation to the original PDP working group recommendation or otherwise. I don't know if this is helpful.
Stefan, do you have a follow-up?
Thank you very much, Mary, for that clarification. It is also my understanding, of course, that what is to be discussed here does not cover the acronyms, and I think that was also made clear in the discussions that we had in Copenhagen. So I take note of that. It was just, you know, if if the GNSO is re-examining those particular elements of the recommendations of 2013, these points, the point five in particular, my assumption is that those parts that are not affected by this renewed discussion will remain in place. But it's just a question that I raise, and I don't know whether, you know, we're in a position now to receive clarity on that. But it is maybe something to be looked at without complicating, of course, what this reconvened group is due to examine. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Stefan. So I would suggest that we try to capture this part of the discussion in sort of a minutes or notes, you know, your request for or your desire to clarify this, your question about the acronym, and also the response that we have for this. What I can say at the moment, without having looked into this further, is that this group has not been asked to look at acronyms, and therefore I would consider this out of scope of this this exercise. But I think it would be helpful to just try to capture that in a minute, so that we have something in writing to lean on. So there was some discussion going on in the chat between Avery and Mary. Just for the benefit of Steve, Jim, excuse me, I'd like to just bring that to your attention. I would assume it is like asking to have an exam regraded. One can lose what they had, especially any interim decisions made by the board. And then in brackets, were there any question mark? And Mary responded at Avery, the Red Cross names and acronyms currently reserved as an interim measure. So once the board acts on the GNSO recommendations, whether to approve or otherwise, the interim protections will go away, and the final board approval will govern. And then I will respond, so Mary, we would bring a decision different from the board's interim decision and remove those names from the reservation list, which I think would be the consequence. So unless there are further interventions on this point, I see Stefan's hand is up. I'm not sure, Stefan, if there's an old or a new hand.
Sorry about that.
No worries. No problem. So that allows us to move on and to agenda item number five, which is recap and review of the original policy recommendations. Let me bluntly ask whether this is something that, in the light of what we've discussed already, that you want to go through in detail, or does everyone know? Otherwise, I would suggest that maybe Mary, who knows this, these recommendations better than anyone else, because she's been drafting the language at the time, gives us a quick run through so that we're all aligned.
Thanks, Thomas. This is Mary from staff again, and I do want to say on the record that I would share that honor with Barry Cobb, who was leading the staff support at the time. And I think the two of us together, if you, Thomas, have been looking at this report for quite some time, too. What I have on the screen is the excerpt from Recommendation 5. We didn't think it would be too helpful to have the entire report up on Adobe Connect for everyone. One thing to note here is that at the time of the PDP report, there were 189 National Red Cross and Red Crescent societies that were recognized. As we know, but I think it's helpful to state this for the record, since then, one more national society has been formally recognized, and so now we are looking, as the GNSO Council's request makes clear, at 190 national societies of the Red Cross. So you see that the language of the working group report talks about scope one and scope two identifiers. What we're doing here is really about some of the scope two identifiers as defined, and you see the definition on screen. And as Stefan was asking earlier, we are concerned with those scope two identifiers that are the names of the national societies and the international movement. At the moment, we have not been requested to look at the acronyms. And as we also noted earlier, the working group recommendation that was adopted by the GNSO Council unanimously was for an exact match of these identifiers in the trademark clearinghouse to participate in a 90 days claims notification process. These recommendations received a consensus level designation from the working group. And you note here that from the non-commercial stakeholder group, there was support, but it was noted that even within the stakeholder group, there was some opposition to this. So the final designation was of consensus. The only other thing we have up on screen here, Thomas and everyone, is an excerpt from the minority statement that the Red Cross submitted to the working group's final report on this recommendation, and we can circulate this to the list as well as a reminder of some of the rationale that was offered by the Red Cross in making a request for protection for these national society names, among others. Thomas?
Thanks very much, Mary. Are there any questions or comments on this? This overview that Mary gave us? That doesn't seem to be the case. So we can then move to the last agenda item, which is the discussion of possible timeline for the working group and reporting back to the GNSO Council. So I think it would be premature to give an exact timeline today, because we need to get started first and then actually frame how we approach the work. But I guess it's important that we get things going, that it's good that we got this running prior to ICANN 59. And I'm sure that James will also share with us some ideas on how this group can report back to the GNSO Council during ICANN 59. Is that assumption correct, James?
Thanks, Thomas. Yes, I think that would be correct. And if I may, I agree it's probably too soon to put dates around a work plan, but I think that, or I would hope that this group could reach a relatively quick consensus on the idea that this should be a straightforward and lightweight work calendar, specifically because the recommendation or the language of the recommendation already exists, so there's something to kind of there's something to start with, and because the scope should be fairly narrow. Additionally, because I think a lot of PDPs, a lot of the timeline is taken up by things like public comment. But in this case, this working group, I'm expecting that its output will be either before or as part of its consideration by the council will be put out for public comment. So I would just hope that the actual work of arriving at revised recommendations or declining to revise the recommendations, I would hope that one of those two outcomes could be arrived at fairly quickly. Just given that what we're starting from, not starting from scratch, and we have a limited scope on what we need to look at. So that's just my input to the idea of the work calendar. I don't know that this has to be something that goes on for the for months and months and months, like a regular PDP.
I guess there will likely be no one on this call who would object to your hope or would not share the hope that we can deal with this relatively quickly. Okay, so you know, let's try to keep this rather to a few months than what's the shortest life cycle of a PDP working group, which I think would be at least like 13 months or so. Let's try to be substantially quicker than that. And I guess that the information that we have in the minority statement, speaking to the legal background, is a good starting point for us to take a look at when it comes to discussing legal justification for granting protection. And maybe we can even go a little bit further. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, Stefan, but I guess it would be helpful, particularly since there have been some new laws recently, if you could share with the group an updated list of the protections there are for the Red Cross, Red Crescent societies. Is that something that you could share with the group with hopefully relatively low effort?
Wait one second. Thomas, is the question whether I should answer now, or what is your question exactly? Do you want me to give some elements now?
You don't have to answer now. I guess what I was interested in learning is whether you could share via the mailing list with the group the legal protections that are in place today, because it's my understanding that there have been some changes and updates in the recent years, so that the group can dive into that and take a look at the existing protections.
Well, I can already confirm that the international protections have, of course, remained unchanged, and that, you know, these are designations and that the words Red Cross, Red Crescent, Red Crystal, Red Lion, and Sun are protected internationally, and they're protected in their pure form, just the words Red Cross, for example, as well as in any association with any other word. And they're protected both as the designation of protective emblems in times of war, as well as the names of identification of the respective components of the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement, which is what we are currently discussing in the context of this reconvened group. In terms of the protections of these words and therefore the names under the legislation of a large number of countries, I think it's around 120 states that have effective national implementing legislation for those protections, including laws that provide for effective punishments and sanctions for misuse of those words and of those names. So there has been, of course, since 2003, a slight evolution. There are new states that have adopted comprehensive legislation. Sweden is an example. What we can do, and we have done so in the past, is of course share with the reconvened working group both an outline of the protections under the 1949 Geneva Conventions and their additional protocols, the international law protections, and then a full list of the national society legislation. But there's no you know, radical change to highlight here. These are absolute protections which states parties to the international treaties have obligations to implement and to ensure respect for. So this is what I can share for now. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Stefan. Let me just pause for a second whether there are any further comments. You know, we're done with the agenda. I think it would make no sense for us to go any further than this today. This was really to kick things off and get us all on the same page on what's been requested by us. I would suggest that we reconvene after ICANN59 in Johannesburg. Before that, I think it doesn't really make sense for us to schedule another meeting, particularly since folks are starting to travel in the next couple of days. Avery is asking the question how often we will have meetings, and I guess this is for us to decide. I would firstly try to establish whether we can use this very time slot for the upcoming calls. So let me just ask you, and we're going to put this on the mailing list as well for those who haven't been able to join today to comment on or object to, but is Wednesday 18 UTC a workable time for everyone in this group? And if not, please make yourself heard. Otherwise, we would take that as your agreement to this time slot. And I would suggest that we do weekly or biweekly meetings, depending on the work that probably needs to be done in between meetings. So maybe to start with, we do weekly calls, and so that everyone can mark their calendars for this time slot, and then we can drop meetings if we don't really have anything to debate or if we're waiting for information to come in. Is this an okay proposal to, you know, because I think we really should try to get this off the table as soon as we can, that we schedule weekly meetings and that we drop meetings in case we can afford to drop them? Mary, your hand is raised, and after that I'm going to respond to Stefan's question in the chat.
Actually, Thomas, I raised my hand just to note that Stefan had asked a question in chat, so please go ahead.
Okay, so the question that Stefan is asking is whether there's any intention for this to be in any way discussed in Johannesburg. And I think the only place where this is being discussed is, if memory doesn't fail me, but I guess it would be for James to correct me if I'm wrong, there is a session planned during the GNSO Council session where I'm asked to, or I will be asked to give a status update. So basically, I will just inform the GNSO Council and the wider GNSO community about basically this call today and our plans to deal with this as quickly as we can. But there is no substantive discussion planned nor a face-to-face meeting during the Johannesburg meeting. And I think it would be too short notice to actually schedule that. Okay, so it looks like there are no hands raised. This actually has been a quite silent group today, so you're just listening and enjoying, which is good. I expect more vivid discussions as we go into substance. It is good to see so many familiar faces / names in the Adobe room. I think we're going to have a good time together working on this important topic. As I said earlier, let me quote Blues Brothers again. It's good we have the band back together. Let's try to get this done in the same good quality as we did last time around. And I'm able to adjourn 6 minutes before the top of the hour so I can make a little donation of time to every one of you. Thanks so much to the participants. Thanks to staff, for, in particular, Mary and Barry for preparing this. Thanks to the GNSL Council leadership for the prep work with this. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.